There we go. Well, in our last class, as we were just saying, I guess we sped through some of the stuff. We weren't in Ephesians. In the wrong book there. Well, not in the last class. So. We were in the Philippians. The first chapter. Now, just to review over just some of the things that we looked at, what are some words or something that might have jumped out in Philippians 1?
Grace.
Okay.
Prayer.
We do see a lot of things that has to do with prayer, don't we?
The word of Christ or the word of God or the gospel.
Okay, so we see different words that have to do with that idea. Christ proclaim Christ, gospel, preaching Christ, different things, faith of the gospel. So we see some of this throughout the text as we were looking through it. Get back over to where we stopped. What was one thing that Paul was, because we were talking about prayer and thankfulness, what was one thing that Paul was thankful for? It's around in the fifth verse. Verse 4 says, or let me start in 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. So, they're from the first day from the first day as far as, you know, coming to believe is the way I take it, and until now, so the idea of being faithful. And then we also looked at some of the other things that Paul prayed about. What about in verse 9? What were some things that he prayed about in verse 9?
Love abound.
Okay. Okay. That your love may still abound, or abound still, and then he says more and more, kind of emphasizing. And that it's to abound still more and more in what?
Knowledge and discernment.
Knowledge and discernment. Okay, so knowledge and discernment.
Do you think that means love of truth, you know, that your love for truth will make you want to grow more in knowledge and discernment, you know, that you will look to gain that more and more?
I think that's kind of some of the things we see going throughout as it builds upon things. And as far as when it says in real knowledge and all discernment, I think that it was talking about is a true knowledge, not just any knowledge. And the idea, because it kind of puts discernment in there with it. So you've got to kind of grow in order to better understand what those things are. So, yes, ma'am, I kind of see it that way. Does anybody else have any...
Doesn't it kind of tie in with verse 5 then? Kind of just connect up there? Participation in the gospel? So it seems to be connected pretty good there.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so not only is it showing their faithfulness, but in doing so, their possibility of their growth or striving to grow.
or a work of faith. You know, this, okay, this work of faith that they did.
I think it ties into the first one also, because the result is that you will be approved what is excellent, you'll be pure and blameless to the day of Christ.
Right.
So you see that growing from love, knowledge, discernment, pure, blameless, all of those things tie together to bring about that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, because verse 10 starts off, doesn't it? I think, yeah, so that, and that's when it goes into explaining some of that. Approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. And also, I think we covered that too, but the idea that your footnote might say discover or distinguish between the things which differ. So that you might discover or distinguish things that are excellent. And our love for the gospel should drive us to grow in a real knowledge and discernment, and all discernment, like we see in verse 9. One thing we also noted was, well, in verse 10, it said, so that you will know what is excellent. So we know we need to grow and be faithful. And then verse 10 explains why, just kind of how you've pointed out, because of this, in connection with this day of Christ, in order to be blameless until the day of Christ. So I kind of saw this. Well, I say two different ways. It's not really two different ways. They're very similar ways, but there was just a little difference the way you could kind of look at it. As far as in verse 10, it said, in order to be blameless until the day of Christ. So this is a life that we choose and should live and grow in until the day of Christ. This is how we are to live until life is no more, this life. But also, there's a footnote for the word until. And the footnote says for. So if you kind of look at it in that light as well, it says we need to consider this, or let's look at it, in order to be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ. So this, if you think of it that way, it's still a similar thought, but it's more of a, it makes you think of a preparation. And also loyalty. Yes, sir? Were you going to tell me what's your version say?
Yes.
I saw you. I could tell.
No, that's okay. Verse 10 says, that you will see the difference between good and bad and will choose the good, and that you will be pure and without wrong for the coming of Christ. Then verse 11, that you will be filled with the good things produced in your life by Christ to bring glory and praise to God.
Okay. So how was the end again? Pure, so you would be pure and not wrong for the day of Christ, or what?
That you will see the difference between good and bad and will choose the good, that you will be pure and without wrong for the coming of Christ.
Okay. With pure and without wrong for the coming of Christ. Okay. Okay, so you can still see this idea of being blameless or for or being prepared. Okay, thank you, sir.
Said the same thing in a different way.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, it's the meat between the sandwiches to me. In verse 9, it talks about your love growing in real knowledge and in discernment. And verse 11 says, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ,
right,
in my thinking, is a sincere, a real knowledge and real discernment of the Word,
right,
concerning Christ, and that we grow up to be, you know, the fullness, like Ephesians talked about.
Okay.
So it's, you know, having been filled with the food of righteousness, which is in Christ, which comes through Christ Jesus, but you don't get there. You're filled up with that because you've loved and you have gained in real knowledge and discernment.
And you continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Any other comments or thoughts? Or
you can look at that phrase in the day of Jesus Christ, and it's referenced in verse 6, here in verse 9, and over in chapter 2, verse 16, it's referenced again. We talk about holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So kind of look at all those things, and it's all talking about completion and being prepared and being blameless and doing what is good and what is right and completing the work that the good work that's in you. And it kind of gives a picture of all of it, being complete, mature, prepared, and ready for the day of Christ.
Okay. Yeah, because when we get into chapter 2, I mean, like you just said there, when it says it again in verse 16, because it's having to do with holding fast, it says the word of life. But previous, before that, it talks about how they are to be lights to others. So, you know, coupled together, we understand that that's going to have to do with them growing and living in a way that they can indeed be an example. Good comments. Any other thoughts or comments? I'm trying. Where did we leave off? Do y'all remember? Were we around 14, I think? I think we were 14 to 15 area, somewhere in there, weren't we? Well, let's look at verse 14 for a minute. In verse 14 it said, "And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God." And then we asked the question, think of what Paul's situation caused, and what can we learn from it? Because of Paul's actions, we see that he was able to give other people courage, just in the way that he did things. And could our courage help strengthen and help others to be courageous in this way? Yes. Okay. And I think we did mention this in class, and we don't even have anything to fear in comparison to really the things that they underwent for, you know, those that would spread the gospel today. Yes, sir. Oh, okay. Today they're. You know, there's not a whole lot that we really would have to fear, except, well, I know one thing a lot of us do fear, and in comparison, when we think about it, it's nothing, and it's rejection. That's what keeps us a lot of the times from maybe saying or doing the things that we ought to be doing. And unfortunately, that's just the way, you know, we view things, and so that's something we've got to get away from. But did you have a comment?
I was kind of for the same. I was going to say, you know, today we have, in a way, we have some things that might prevent us or hold us back, and that would be the major one, would be rejection. You know, I was talking to somebody else about the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
And about Paul here in his situation. You know, I don't think what you think of is somebody in prison. No, that's terrible. We don't want to be in prison. You want to keep away from that. But he's showing, hey, look what you can do. I mean, whatever circumstance you find yourself to be in, take advantage of them. You know, here I had an opportunity to preach a preparing garden. Here I'm doing my work and trying to help them. And hey, this be an encouragement to you. Even if we were to have a situation like this where you're in the same situation I'm in. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the thing today.
Because we see that. I mean, it proves it here that although, you know, whatever, number one, his faith, what he was willing to go through for the cause of Christ. But not only that, it proves here that by doing this, he was still able to be helpful to others in more than one way. But not only is he helping others come to know Christ, but by doing this, he's helping other Christians grow and doing work. So that can be a real example. I mean, a good example to us, I think, because, and maybe if we keep that on our mind, if we think about something like that, maybe that'll help us have a little more courage. I mean, don't get me wrong, this stuff we're supposed to be doing anyway, but if that helps us to do it, you know, think about, well, you know, by doing this, not only am I helping this person, because that should be what you want to do, but I might also be helping my brother get more courage. And, you know, just something to think about.
And number one thing would be service to Christ. You know, that's
about, yes, sir.
Do what we're doing with it.
Yes, sir. It needs to come out of that.
Somebody,
yes,
else to see, and it can, you know, encourage somebody else. And all, yeah.
Yes, sir. Good point. Yeah, it needs to be, the reasoning behind it needs to be for serving Christ. That's for certain.
There are many kinds of persecutions, not imprisonment, but family can do a big,
yeah,
number on you if they're not of the mind to serve the Lord. They only hear it, and they don't want you to, you know, tell them about it. And they don't want you to serve the Lord either.
Yeah.
And so they really do present a problem. So many times we go through problems in this life, whether it's ill health or whether it's a loss or something, and just the courage and faith of the person going through it can really help us to deal with something, maybe not the same thing, but whatever has come up in our life to deal with. And so, you know, we can gain courage from our brethren who have stayed firm and,
oh, yes,
firm and have the right kind of attitude. So when we are suffering, I can read this or I can look at those around me that suffer and straighten my attitude up.
Yeah.
You know.
It can encourage you.
Yeah.
Good point. Any other comments or thoughts or no? Everybody awake? let's see. And then, well, I just made a statement on my notes, basically just to say that, so just by doing what we should be doing, I could help others in their fight. You know, just by doing what we need to be doing anyway, we can help others. And just something for us to think about. In verse 15, Paul explains that some are preaching for the wrong reasons. But in verse 18, he explains that at least Christ is proclaimed. And he rejoices in that. So let's read that for a second, verses 15 through 18. Verse 15. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. So we might find it a little unusual hearing something like that, but as long as what they're... Now, he's not saying Well, at least they're preaching something about Christ. We got to be careful about that. I mean, but from the way it's written, I seem to think that he's not saying they're proclaiming anything wrong. It's just their attitude behind their reasoning for doing it is what's wrong. So, you know, even if they are preaching for the wrong reasons, this, of course, this isn't going to necessarily benefit them. But if in truth, it'll benefit the gospel. Yeah. So, yes, sir.
It reminds me of a situation in the Gospels where Jesus Christ is pretty well the same thing. I think, you know, he's just following his master. That's the way Jesus approached it. He said, hey, we're doing some good, and you and his apostles are saying, hey, these people, you know, he says, hey, leave them alone. They're doing God's work. Or, you know, I don't remember exactly the situation of the verse, but it was pretty well the same kind of situation as okay. That we see here.
Okay. Well, I see. And plus, I think Paul's trying to show the good in this, because these people's intention was negative, but he shows the positive outcome that came out of it. So it kind of backfired on them, I guess you could say. Right. Any other? Yes, sir?
I thought it was interesting. You know, we just read about how that Paul being in prison was an encouragement to the others, the Christians and the others around them. And in this case, here's people preaching in order to cause him more problems, and that's what's causing the encouragement on the other hand, plus the proclaiming.
He enjoy it, isn't he?
It's the other side of the coin.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I mean, just, well, his attitude is just, he's got a real good attitude.
Christian attitude.
Yes, sir.
Nice and right.
Paul was very serious from the first day before.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, he was, and we learned a lot of things from him, from his example. Paul expresses some different things in verses 19 through 26. I asked the question of what are some of these things and what can they teach us? But, time is it? Oh, we got a little bit of time. Go ahead and read these so we'll have it fresh in our mind, and then we'll look over some of that. In verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard, pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. So we see a little bit of something in there that Paul is explaining. He knows that it will turn out for his deliverance, is how he starts off. And then he explains that whether it's in his life or in his death, that either way, Christ is going to be exalted. And we see from his actions that, number one, just the way that he worded it, that he's very loyal very loyal to Christ. And in verse 21, it says to live is Christ. I kind of get the idea, or to live for Christ, and to die is gain. And then verse 22 explains how he's not sure which to choose. So fruitful labor in the flesh, or to die and be with Christ. So which would be better? And he's
putting the brethren before himself.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what he's doing. Because he says that, you know, to be with Christ would be great, but I've got work. Yeah, he's got work to do, and he. Yes, sir. That's a very good way to put it, because he put them before him, didn't he? So verse 24, although he would rather be with Christ, remaining in the flesh is necessary for their sake. Any other thoughts or comments?
It's not a whole lot like what Christ did for us. Put us first.
Puts us first, yes, sir.
Whenever he was crucified on the cross, he was putting us before himself.
Okay.
Or, you know, all mankind.
Yes, sir. Yeah, because actually, even once we get in next class, when we get into Philippians 2, it's going to talk a little bit about some of that. So kind of maybe building in on it there.
The first thing I put down was verse 19 about prayer. I know the term of deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Prayer can change things. We can, when we pray, Christ hears us. But, you know, prayers are answered, and they can. I mean, the Lord listens.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And so, you know, and this is not the only place that he talks about, pray for me.
Right.
You know, whether to have a door open to speak boldly, mm-hmm. for him to speak boldly, or to for him to come to him, and things like that. So Paul not only is in the gospel and preaching the gospel, he's in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's into contentment too, as you'll see. But I mean, you know, he's into joy and praying, and he wants those to pray too.
Yes,
I think,
ma'am.
It's a lesson for us.
Yes, ma'am. That's a good point, because he does, we see a lot of that, the idea of him praying and asking for prayers, like you mentioned, on his behalf. And that just shows that he trusts and believes. You know, he trusts that God hears him and that God's able. And that's a good example for us, because that's something that we need to trust in. And, you know, it's easy for us to just say, well yeah, I trust in prayer. We can say that, but is it showing in our action? Is that something that we do? And like we've looked at in some of the past classes, we need to make sure when we're doing it that it's not just rote. Because when you get into that, it's almost the sense of that you're not really trusting in it. I know we can fall into that just because of, you know, how we maybe routine or what. Yeah, it is warm. I know I'm doing it. I didn't know if it was just me. that spotlight right here.
We turn it on as class ends.
Yeah. Too late now. I got to go wring my shirt out.
I thought I was the only one.
No,
I'm
trying to
make everybody else sick.
So prayer, it's a very good point. Was there any other thoughts or comments? Or okay. Let's look at verse 27 then. It's basically in this verse it explains how they should conduct themselves and why. Verse 27 says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. But What does that mean? What's a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ?
Only one thing concerns me. Be sure that you have that you live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ.
Okay.
Whether I come and visit you or am away from you, I would hear that you are standing strong with one purpose, that you work together as one for the faith of the good news.
Okay. So the honor of the good news of Christ, is that what it's... Okay. Okay, so we see that. The gospel, yeah, because that's... Isn't that what the gospel is? So we see that honor or worthy of the good news or the gospel of Christ. So there's a specific way to conduct themselves. And not only is this because we know that this is something that we have to do individually, but not only do they do this individually, what does the end of this verse start talking about? What are some of the words we see throughout the end of this verse?
Standing firm.
One.
Okay.
Striving
together.
Yeah, one spirit.
Together. Okay. So one spirit with one mind striving together.
One purpose.
One purpose. And then what are all of these things for?
Unity.
Okay, unity of faith of the gospel. So the kind of all of these things are kind of sandwiched in the gospel of Christ and the faith of the gospel.
This is what a church does as the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Yes, ma'am.
It's to strive together. You can't uphold the gospel if you're bickering and fighting and going in different directions. The work's not going to be done.
Right. Okay, so we can see where this can indeed be something we know as an individual has to be part of our life, but as also a unity, as a group there.
You know, we learn that there is one Lord, one faith, and one spirit.
And a
so
teacher.
All of that, talking about the gospel, worthy of the gospel, it's from one. It's from one God. It's unity. It's not something different. And
right.
So to be worthy of that, and it is glorious. And so our actions to be worthy of that, we have to stand firm in one spirit.
Right. And striving.
Mm-hmm.
So these striving together. So one spirit striving together. One mind. Any other comments or thoughts or... Okay. In verse 28 says, in no way alarmed by your opponents. So having to do with what it just spoke about in 27, says in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. So we see by this, them standing firm or striving together, and doing it in a way that they're not alarmed by these others.
They're going to suffer for it.
Right.
You know, that's what the next verse talks about. And so you're going to suffer. And here's another phrase, don't be afraid.
Right. That's a good way to phrase it. Don't be afraid. And then in the verse it says, but it's salvation to you or us. And then, like I said, verse 29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. What does verse 29 make us remember? Is that too broad of a question? I'm sorry.
That we're going to suffer. Christ suffered for us, and as His servants, we will suffer for the cause of Christ. Paul told Timothy that. You will suffer for Christ.
Okay. Okay, so there's a certain attitude or whatever that we're to have so that we can do this or should do this for Christ's sake, whatever that might entail as far as suffering. Christ was an example of this. Paul was an example of this. And then, like it had just ended in the verse 20, I think it was 29, that he even explained how others too were suffering, or how we might suffer for the cause of Christ. So how might this, how might we help this cause?
We rejoice in suffering. We have to, if you're able to suffer for Christ. If there's something that comes up your way that you, that you feel is a burden to you, or suffering for you, then you should be glad that you're doing it for the will of Christ, for the cause of Christ.
Okay. So
that's opposite of what your own human would think about.
Right.
You suffering.
So it is a kind of a mindset. I mean, different way that we have to view things, because we see that in the way Paul was writing some of this, don't we? And how does, I mean, because when you think about some of the things we read, how does Paul view his life? I mean,
to live as Christ.
Right.
I wish I could get there. Even close to that, Yeah.
Yeah, because he shows what's most important to him. I mean, we see that in the things that are written here, and
really
serving
is,
Christ.
It really is driving the point home, because you could imagine that some people would have a tendency to think, well, yeah, Christ did that, but he was deity and was perfect
right.
and everything. But then here's Paul,
yeah.
who he's just like everybody else,
yeah.
and so it's you've got two examples, just really drives the point home.
Good point. Very good point.
I think it's interesting the wording that's used. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake. That's almost like saying, you're going to get to do this too.
Yeah.
Something that is a good thing. And,
right.
So you look at Paul and his response to it, he rejoiced to.
Yeah, because we see that throughout here.
And
we
you're going to get to do this too. And that's kind of sobering to think that, that will happen if people are
proclaiming Christ. Right. Right, so that's a good lesson to us, huh? To reflect upon.
Paul never wavered either when he was with a brethren or if he was in prison. He still had this attitude.
He was strong, wasn't firm.
And even though he was in prison, he was, I think he was talking to them about they need to step up continue what he's doing,
as far as spreading the news. Well, and we see that in his writings, just the way he does it, because he always starts with encouragement, but then he might go into telling you where you need to make some changes too, because it's just that's the some of the things we see in his writings there.
This same type of mindset can be used for those situations also. In my lifetime, I've seen come up here in the 60s and people protesting this and that, throwing in jail and everything, and it's that's kind of like an encouragement to ones that they keep on doing it. And the next day, we see Occupy Wall Street campaign, people getting arrested and picked up, and then others see that, that may be thrown in jail, kind of thing, although theirs is different service in their mind.
Right.
A different kind of thing. It's still the same type of situation where somebody being persecuted and they're rejoiced and happy.
Because they believed in something.
Yeah, because they believe in something.
Right.
They think what they're doing is right. And even though maybe what they're doing is not right. Of course, this is right.
Right. Yes. Yes.
But they probably use this kind of thing as an example in their mind for what they're doing. See it.
So again, our actions might show something about what we believe.
Yeah.
So we, something. Mm-hmm. Got about half a minute. Is there any other thoughts or comments? Or we want to go through the other lesson real quick? No. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, we'll start chapter 2 in the next class. Now, I did give everybody chapter 2. Okay. Just making sure. Well, thank y'all very much.